It's Ina Zimbardi, and welcome to another edition of the Go Nuts podcast. I'm here with Morgan Hibbs from the Linn County Education Outreach over in Iowa. I was really excited to talk to her about what the education outreach does and how it brings agriculture to the classroom and helps next generation learn. So Morgan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Gina, for having me on the podcast today. I'm super excited to be able to talk with you. So I grew up on a farm in Johnson County, Iowa, which is just one county south of Linn County. And I grew up on a farm. We raised beef cattle. My grandpa also had corn and soybeans and farrow to finish hog, a pig operation. And so once I was in high school and was trying to decide what I wanted to do when I graduated, I was looking into colleges and decided to take a look at Iowa State. So I went and toured there. And when I went and toured, I just fell in love with the campus. And they have agriculture as one of the areas of study that they're very known for. So I attended Iowa State with an interest in agriculture, but wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So I started to take a variety of different ag classes as well as communication and marketing. They have a major that's called agriculture communications, and it's underneath the umbrella of agriculture education. And so once I decided and narrowed down my focus, I was able to dive into some of the different classes. And my area of emphasis was animal science and horticulture, which kind of led me through a few different clubs and internships. One of my internships was with Iowa Farm Bureau in Des Moines with the Young Farmers Program. And that really kind of sparked my interest in the educational side of agriculture and teaching about agriculture. So Iowa Farm Bureau is a federation that is for farmers. It's an organization that farmers can be a part of. And education is one of the focus areas that they try to reach the community, but also bringing farmers in to educate them on the latest topics and things like that. And so through that internship, I was able to help plan a conference for young farmers to attend that was on a variety of different topics that year. Precision agriculture, they talked about value-added products, women in ag leadership. So a variety of different breakout sessions that the farmers could choose to take. After that internship, I had a few other internships with Iowa State Extension, Women in Ag, and also Hoover University, which is for youth. And so once I graduated from Iowa State, I was looking for a job back home. I wanted to be close to my family, and my now husband and I were engaged, and so I wanted to move back to where he was located. And so I was looking for a career in this area, and I saw that Linn County had posted a education outreach coordinator position. So this was actually a new position for Linn County when I started back in 2017. The board of directors came together and was looking for a way to reach the urban community within Linn County, especially the Cedar Rapids area, but also the communities in the outskirts of the Linn County area. Some of the more rural kids as well, but trying to connect the consumer to the farm and bridging that gap. So they came together and created an Ag in the Classroom program. And so I applied for the position, and I've been with Linn County since May 2017. And it's really been awesome seeing the program grow from 2017 to today and watching the students learn and engage in agriculture and be really excited and curious about agriculture and the world around them.
That's great. Yeah, I love to hear the connection between agriculture and, you know, you're getting the kids invested and excited about it. Iowa State has some really great programs, and it sounds like you are really passionate about what you do. So can you tell me a little bit about what the Linn County agriculture or the education outreach does? Who's its primary audience, and kind of what are the topics that you discuss, or what's the mission?
Yes. So our mission is to increase youth awareness on the importance of agriculture agriculture careers and the benefits provided by ag throughout an individual's life. We have three different focus areas. One of them is classroom visits and working directly with the students. So that's our biggest focus area. Before COVID-19 and before 2020, our program looked very different. We would visit classrooms, preschool through high school, educating about agriculture on a variety of different topics. The topics for the elementary students are more timely, seasonal based. So right now with harvest season, we look at corn and soybeans, pumpkins and apples. And then once we get into middle school and high school, the topics become more specialized to what the teacher is teaching in the classroom and how we can integrate our program into the curriculum. So, for example, I've worked with a few middle schools on renewable energy, looking at wind energy, solar energy. We've talked about water quality. With high school, it also depends on the class. So I've worked with chemistry classes and looking at the ruminant system of a beef cow, and had a few guest speakers come in and talk about how that process works and the chemistry behind it. We've looked at GMOs, nitrogen, and how nitrogen is important for plant growth, but also we need to make sure we're not having runoff and the conservation that goes with that. So depending on who I'm working with and what grade they are is kind of the variety of different topics we cover. The second area of our program is professional development. So we work with teachers to be the local agriculture resource for them. So they can reach out to us to have a farmer donate seeds to the classroom, corn and soybeans. If it's harvest season, we can partner with them to do a farm chat, which is a virtual tour of an ag business or a farm. And then we also have classroom, or we have instructional workshops for the teachers to take, where the teachers can come in the summertime and learn about some of the different lessons and how they can integrate it into the science and social studies curriculums, and how agriculture is that real world example for them. The third area of our program is community outreach. So in the summertime, we have a presence at the Linn County Fairgrounds. We partner with the local libraries to offer reading, story times, and activities throughout the summer for the youth programs. We also have partnered with homeschool families and STEM Fest. Kirkwood is in Linn County, Kirkwood Community College. So we worked with them with the career days and the, it's called Workplace Learning Connection. And so they help schools prepare students for after they graduate. And so we've partnered with them to bring a variety of different agriculture careers into the school so that the students know kind of what the industry, all it has to offer. Many students think that agriculture is farming, which it is, but it also expands to the farm to plate and all of the jobs and the different careers along the way.
Fantastic. Yeah, for what you talked about, it's really interesting because agriculture is such a wide topic. And so I love the fact that you're taking that Linn County takes a multifaceted approach and for different audiences. So I was lucky enough to work with the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and it sounds like a lot of education outreach is moving toward that and doing a really great job communicating that agriculture isn't just finite farming, but has, you know, there's so many ripples in that pond. So that's really exciting that you've talked about that. And I've been really impressed from what I've read about your program. So one of the things that you mentioned was the difference that COVID has made. And I know 2020 has been a hard year for everyone. And it sounds like has really changed how Linn County's kind of methodology and approach. So how has COVID affected your education outreach? And can you tell me a little bit about, I know it's been a terrible year, but has there been some positive changes? Do you think you'll keep some of these changes?
Yes, definitely. So our program looks very different this year. We are no longer visiting the classroom in person, but we are visiting the classroom virtually. So the same teachers have With our program now going on its fourth school year, I've been able to establish a relationship with many of the teachers here in Linn County, which has been helpful with the 2020 school year.
Right.
But we have transitioned to a virtual platform where we offer the teachers could sign up for different options that work best for them. So the different options included they could sign up for a kit, which included all of the resources needed to teach the lesson. It includes virtual lessons with a pre-recorded instructional video, read-aloud videos, and then downloadable worksheets and activities with all of the supplies listed. They could also sign up for a Zoom option where we schedule a time to meet virtually, just like we would if we were meeting in person. But instead of going to the school, we do a Zoom chat where I get the opportunity to chat with the students, which it's been really fun because a lot of the students, I visit multiple grades in the schools usually. So, for example, in Hiawatha, I visit kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. And so the students recognize me. And so it's been fun to hear their voices through the chat and still be able to connect with them virtually. So teachers could sign up for that option. And then the third option is if they are a all virtual situation. For example, I have a couple schools where the teachers are the virtual teacher for all of second grade. So if the families have chosen to keep their kids at home and homeschool the students, then they have a teacher that's helping guide them. And so I've been able to work with some of those teachers and offer the lessons via email and then also on our website so that the teachers can send those resources home to the families. And be able to still participate in the program. Some positives is we've been able to open the program up to homeschool families. So in the past, I've worked with Marion Homeschool, where it's a program that is a assisting program to homeschool families so they can come and look for resources and educational opportunities. So I've been able to partner with that group in the past, but now this year I've been able to work with the homeschool families directly. And they could sign up for our kits and we pick up the kits from our office, which has been fun to work with a new group and a new target area with families that have possibly been homeschooling for years, but then also some of the newer families that have chosen to homeschool this year.
Great. So it sounds like you've really broadened your audience to that homeschool group, and That's really fantastic that you're able to do so. You've mentioned kind of these kits, and it sounds like it's a classroom and a kit, and it sounds like it's a great resource for teachers to have kind of everything in one place, and they can use it in their classroom kind of as needed, kind of independently, but guided. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the topics you cover in these kits?
Yes. So with our elementary teachers, they typically sign up for a monthly kit. So when they sign up in the beginning of the year, they will receive a new kit every month. With the middle school and high school, it's more upon still by request. So I'll kind of go through some of the topics for the elementary students, the ones that sign up for the monthly program. So we have months that are more of a theme, and then each grade is broken down into a different activity. So for September, we did an introduction to ag, where some of the different topics included kind of agriculture in general. Like, for example, we had a preschool and kindergarten lesson that was, do you want to grow a pizza? And it looked at all of the different ingredients that are included in a pizza and making a pizza. We also looked at Iowa in a bag, which was for second grade. That was a little charm bag that included some different things from Iowa that would represent agriculture. And then in October, we are focusing on pork for National Pork Month, pumpkins and apples and harvest. We have a antique tool lesson that looks at the tools used in the past compared to the modern day equivalents today. So we also try to bring in some social studies and history, and then also geography as well. We have a really fun lesson for second grade this month that's Case of the Missing Pumpkin, looking at soil and composting. So the students will actually be making a compost bucket in their classroom with a pumpkin, and they'll be watching it decompose over the next month and taking notes and watching how it changes. And then kind of wrapping up and reviewing how that pumpkin is then has completed its life cycle.
Oh, it's funny, get to play with dirt.
Yes, yep. And the students always love that one. That one's one of my favorites because I come back to the classroom to pick up the compost bucket, and the kids are, "Look, look, Mrs. Morgan, these all of these seeds have started to sprout from the pumpkin." So we sometimes get new sprouts from the old pumpkin, and then some of them will say, "Oh, it was so smelly," and things like that. So it's just fun to see their expressions with some of the different hands-on experiments. For November, we look at harvest. So we have corn and soybeans. I also try to bring in Iowa, we are primarily corn and soybeans, but we are also more diverse than people might think. And so I try to bring in some of those other topics later in the season. But for November, we go over corn, soybeans. We touch on wheat, hay and straw, and things like that. And then in December, I try to bring in some specialty agriculture. So we talk about dairy and fibers, cotton and sheep. We talk about cranberries. This year, I'm doing a fun lesson on citrus fruit. And we also do a fun lesson on beef in December.
That's fantastic. I love one of the things that you've talked about is how hands-on it is. It's not just two-dimensional, you're using a lot of different technologies, and I use the word technologies to describe different ways for the students to learn, so they are getting hands-on, so they're enriching themselves in a way that they're just not reading something or looking at a screen, or even just like looking at pictures. They get an opportunity to, you know, put their stamp on it and to feel like what they're doing is important. So I really commend that. I come from an academic background, from an English background. So I'm like really excited to hear about like all the ways that you guys have embraced this educational methodology. And it just makes me really happy.
Yes, I definitely agree with you there. I try my hardest to, when I look at a grade. So for example, if I'm looking at third grade, I try to, especially when I can visit the classroom, I will bring in one month I'll bring in a food lesson where they'll be able to sample different things. The second month I might bring in a craft. I try to make sure that every month I'm bringing something different. So that way, if there's students that learn better in a particular, way, maybe they are more into a science experiment. So every month I try to bring in a different way of teaching it. We also do bring in sometimes that technology, or maybe they'll be researching a project or doing a STEM experiment or a craft. Maybe one month they're creating a life cycle craft where they get to color and piece different and glue things together. And so I really try hard to make it diverse throughout the whole school year. So that way, every time I come, it's a little different.
Right. And it's not only diverse, but you're allowing them to interact with all of their senses. You know, they're touching, they're smelling, they're tasting. And I think that's really, really important. And it helps make agriculture, the idea of agriculture, real to them and not just a topic that they're learning in school. They can relate each sense to it. And so I think that creates a really, really important impact. I think it's really cool. I like the grow your own pizza thing. My husband's family owns a pizza shop, and I want the pizza shop to sponsor that kit in the local schools because I think they'd kick out of it. So
actually,
a question I have.
Yes, with the pizza, there's another program we offer to fourth graders that's called Pizzathon, and it's a program where it's a kind of a competition. It was started a long time ago by Iowa State Extension, and the students take a topic or a topping for their pizza, so pepperoni or cheese, and they research it, and then they have to present the topping to the class. And at the end of it, in Linn County, they've been to have Happy Joe's donate pizza toppings every year. So then the students get to enjoy pizza, a pizza party after they present to judges. And all of the judges are farmers from the Linn County area, which is really cool.
That just sounds absolutely fantastic. And it's a really great way to talk about the diversity of Iowa, as you mentioned, because we were out there with the nut farmers. And people don't really think about nuts when they think of Iowa, but we saw some wonderful chestnut orchards, hazelnuts, things of that nature. And so I just think that's wonderful. And I just had the funny image in my head of some kid trying to like research pineapple as a topping, and it's like, you probably can't grow a pineapple in Iowa, but still, it made me chuckle.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to go back to is that one of the things that you sound like you were really excited about is that you get to kind of see these students grow, because you have, sounds like you've had a 4-year repertoire with these teachers and students. So how have you seen these students grow from, you know, the preschool or first grade age upwards? And how do you feel that the Linn County education outreach have affected them and affected their educational growth?
Yes, it's been so interesting to see. A lot of times I'll be at a STEM fest and students will come up to me from our classroom visits and they will be telling their parents, Miss Morgan brought in this activity and we learned about this. And usually with a STEM fest, I have an activity sitting right there and they know, they can identify the corn and soybean seeds. They can tell their parents where their food comes from and how farming plays such a large role in their life and agriculture in general. And it's really neat to see from kindergarten all the way up to like fourth grade in some of the schools that I visit. Every year we have the theme of the month, but yeah, each grade is a different activity and topic and a different spin on that theme. And I tend to refer back to the year before. So it's really cool how they all connect. So for example, if we're doing in February, we do water and soil quality. In fourth grade, we look at how there's different soil types and they actually paint with soil. And in second grade, we look at cover crops and conservation. And so I refer back to fourth grade and I say, remember when we made the soil paint and how all of the different soils were different and they were different colors and different textures and some were more clay, some were more sand. And then in second grade, when we talk about cover crops, I kind of connect the dots and say, well, cover crops are put in place to help with erosion. So that soil, remember that loose, sandy soil, it doesn't wash away. Or that heavy clay soil, we have better filtration. And once our soil is more of a healthy combination of with the cover crops and the organic matter that's in the soil and things like that. So it's really cool to bridge that gap because they remember the activities since they are so hands-on that I remember the soil paint and so that's really cool to see.
Absolutely. And that's got to be so gratifying as an educator, is because you can see that them building on that knowledge. That's just fantastic. How do you think Linn County Education Outreach will affect the future of farming or the future of agriculture? Because you're seeing kids, you're working with children and that are going to grow up with a healthy knowledge of agriculture and kind of a wider view than maybe our generation or the previous generation. So how do you feel like what you're doing is changing the future of ag?
I hope that it's helping to create a more positive outlook for agriculture. Sometimes in the news and the media, that might be all they hear about agriculture. And so with our program, they are interacting with agriculture at a young age and local agriculture. So a lot of times we partner with farmers that they can talk to directly and ask questions. And they, when you know and you have that connection to a farmer and you realize that it's a real person growing our food and things like that, it's going to help you broaden your awareness of agriculture and then also the diversity of it. I'm hoping it helps to create a more conscious consumer. So when they're shopping at the grocery store, knowing how to read the labels and the different packaging and making those choices. I also hope it helps with not food shaming and knowing that all types of agriculture are important to our growing population and our society. We need everyone working together, small farms, large farms, corn and soybean farmers, and also like the nut growers. And I would love to visit a nut farmer orchard here in Linn County in Iowa in general, because I know there are some, but I haven't had the opportunity to go visit. And so just that diversity of agriculture, I think it will really be one of the things that these kids take away. We also have a mission to work with those middle school and high school students, and so broadening the awareness of careers in agriculture and knowing that there are so many different science-related careers and technical careers with software development and marketing and how they can have a job in accounting but work for a really successful agriculture business like John Deere or something along those lines that will help, I think, change some of the misconceptions in agriculture that we hear often.
Absolutely. And I think both of us are great examples of unique jobs in agriculture. I have a degree in English. I never thought I'd be working in the agricultural field, but here I am, like a communications manager. And even if I don't get to spend, like, even if I don't spend my days in the field, I'm still part of kind of the agricultural cycle. So
definitely. Yeah.
And I can definitely say I was really ignorant to the offerings of agriculture, you know, as a career. And so I'm really excited to hear like what you guys are doing to help bring that awareness to kids. And, you know, my husband's a software engineer and just, you know, he could be working with farmers. And I love listening to, there were talks. I went to a conference in February where they were talking about like drones in the fields. And so I think, again, I could say it a million times, but what you're doing is really important. And I'm very excited to talk to you about it, of course.
Thank you.
And after we talk about this, I promise I'll connect you with some Iowa nut farmers so you can get involved. And I would love to see the NNGA be involved with Linn County and maybe sponsor a kit or help with some sort of educational tool, because that's, you know, our mission. Our mission is to educate. And our audience, one of the things that I'm trying to do as the communications manager is that our audience are generally adults, and a large number of our members get into nut growing after they retire. And that's really problematic, especially when you're talking about tree crops, when it takes 10, 25 years to grow. So I think by bringing the interest into the classroom and getting kids involved with it, we can, you know, we can make our mission statement even stronger. Sorry, that's just a side tangent about why I think it's really important to do this. But I think you and I could talk about that all day. So what your county is doing is just exemplary. What advice would you give to an extension agency or a university or a nonprofit or schools that don't have something like this? What advice would you give them? How would you help them approach this?
Yes. So, and with our program, so we in Linn County started this program in 2017, but there is a Iowa Ag in the Classroom program. And since I've started, there have been multiple programs that have popped up all over the state, which has just been so encouraging to see. We also have the Iowa Ag Literacy Foundation that is a great support for the local Ag in the Classroom coordinators. They develop a lot of lesson plans and resources and are there to help mentor the local coordinators. But there are still counties that don't have a presence in the classroom, or if there are other coordinators in the extension office that want to do farm chats and things like that. I just say, just to start, get started, reach out to teachers in your area. So the way we started and established our program was through the ground roots, through the grassroots, I should say, by connecting with teachers directly. So Linn County has some pretty big districts. For example, Cedar Rapids is a pretty large district. So I reached out to some teachers that I had connections with or that had applied through different grants to receive incubators in the classroom or things like that. So I did a little digging and research of what teachers might already have an interest in agriculture. And I started there and reached out to them. And then it grew from word of mouth and it grew from that. So then the co-teachers saw the program and the teammates and other grades. And so I say just start with a few teachers and offer coming in and chatting with the students and doing a farm chat, a virtual tour, having a farmer come in and talk about what they do and as a guest speaker. There's so many ways to get started, but I would just say take that step to make that relationship and form that connection, and then it will grow gradually from that.
So it sounds like you're a really important connection between farmers and educators, which I've been kind of doing, so I completely understand. How do you, so your job is you're working with a lot of different audiences. So you have to wear the, I have to talk to a teacher hat, I have to talk to a farmer hat, I have to talk to kids. So how do your, I'm trying to think of how to state this question. Do you find that farmers are willing to give their advice or to help with your education outreach?
Yeah, so we have a very great board of directors team here with Linn County. They are very awesome to work with. They're very willing to share their knowledge. There are, of course, always the farmers that are more outgoing and willing to speak to different audiences. But I've also found the farmers that are willing to donate corn for all of my classroom visits, like the kits we are making this year. I had a farmer donate a bucket of corn to our program. So I try to get to know the farmers and then play on those strengths. So if a farmer that I know of is very open to talking to students, for example, we have one board of director who is very knowledgeable and grows lots of diverse crops on his farm. And so he's willing to come in, and he does a lot of social media advocating. So he's willing to come in and chat with the students and has no problem relating to them and things like that. So getting to know the farmers and then kind of what they're comfortable with. I also do a lot of kind of guidance back and forth. So before we have if I do a farm chat and we are going to the farm, for example, last year I did a farm chat with a farmer on conservation and looking at buffer strips and grass waterways and things like that. Before I went and did the farm chat, we did a practice session. I also sent an outline for kind of what I was looking for, what type of questions the students might ask, and kind of guided through. And then similar to this podcast, how you're kind of leading the discussion and asking questions and things, I do the same thing for our farm chats. If there's a break in the conversation and the students don't have a question, I'll jump in and ask a question and kind of guide that conversation. But it also, sometimes it is a flip of a hat quickly, because I might go visit a preschool class in the morning in a typical year, and then after lunch go visit a high school class. So sometimes I have to make that transition and look at my lesson plans and okay, now I'm going to talk to a high school group. I need to kind of switch gears here.
Yeah, that could be really difficult. I understand. And I just had to chuckle about finding the farmers who like to talk, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And there are folks in our organization that can talk your ear off, and I love it. I absolutely, and you know, I'm the same way. I love talking about this. It's obviously a passion of mine. So what you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. What's for the future? So hopefully COVID is not going to last forever, and perhaps you can get back into the classroom in the next school year. But what plans do you have? How are you going to improve on what you have?
So I think, with COVID, it changed things up, but we'll definitely keep some of these things still in place once COVID has passed and things kind of resume back to normal. For example, this summer we did STEM kits where families could sign up to receive activities throughout the summer, and that was really awesome. We had a great sign up for that, and so I could see that continuing in the future. I also could see the partnership with the homeschooled families continuing and still offering some kits to the homeschooled families throughout the year. Virtual technology, we've become very diverse in the type of technology we're able to offer. So through our website, we really have built some skills in our website design and how it's presented to the teachers. YouTube, we've become more familiar with YouTube. So I could see video development and being able to build a library for the teachers to be able to use and offer, like as an addition to our lessons or resources that they could expand on. We also have an intern for the first time this year, and I could see our program growing with the help of an intern and being able to also mentor that intern in ag education and being able to help build their resume and their skills. And so some exciting things that I think are in our future for Linn County, but also knowing how to grow in a a speed that is appropriate for our program. And so reaching the students will always be our main mission. And so making sure that we are doing that in a way that is best suited for our classroom teachers and that partnership with the schools.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point you made. It's important to, I think with nonprofits and education outreach, it's really easy to have a really big goal and it's harder to implement that. So I think it's really intelligent of you to kind of consider that and not take more on than you can chew. And I can certainly relate to that.